Hello. I'm kind of nervous, so this is really my first time doing this. But can we turn to Romans chapter 12, please? And it starts, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, all members not having the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, every one members of one another, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us minister, or him that teacheth, let him teach, or him that extorteth, let him exhortate. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let the love be without dissimulation. Despise that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in prayer, disputing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, blessing them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind towards one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If at all be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us help the Lord and our God blesses the reading of his word to us. In the first verse, Paul is charging us to become living sacrifices and to give unto God, which is our reasonable service. Because God, in John 3:16, gave his Son for all of us. We should give back to him as much as we can. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, it says, But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and hath risen us up together, that we may sit together in heavenly places with Christ. If God has given us his Son for us, and given us the ability to sit with Christ in heaven and rule with him, why should we, while we're on earth, try and give back as much as we can to God? Because he died for us, and in his death, he saved us from an eternal death. Our reasonable service can differ between persons. It can be a missionary, it could be a preacher, it could be teaching. But we should strive to find what is what we are good at, or what God has called us to do, and do that to the best of our ability to bring honor and glory to God. In verse 2, it says that you should renew your mind. I believe this verse is saying that in order to perform your reasonable service, you must be able to renew your mind. purify yourself by being humble and in prayer before God, before meetings with our fellow brothers and sisters. Ask God for our sins that we have committed towards one another intentionally or unintentionally, and then forgive those who have wronged us. For if we are going to hold a grudge against another brother and sister, then we're not able to perform for our reasonable service and give back to God as much as we would normally be able to. In verses 9 through 17, it talks a lot more about, I think, verse 1, about being living sacrifices. In verse 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation," I believe means love your brothers and sisters equally. Do not prefer one to the other, but prefer all over yourself. Being selfless and is a key part to renewing your mind and giving back reasonably to God. For Jesus was selfless in himself and died for us all. In verse 11, it says, "Be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit." I believe this means that we should always rely on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to serve us, not on our own strength. But having said that, don't wait too long to do services or help brothers and sisters, because it says, "Do not be slow in your business." In verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." When I read this for the first time, I thought about Colossians 10:13, where it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to men. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with temptation he will provide a way for escape." And I feel in order for us to realize that way of escape, we must be continuing constantly in prayer. Otherwise, we will try and escape under our own strength or under our own knowledge, and we won't be able to, because that will not be what God wanted us to do. He would have wanted us to to rely on him rather than on our own self. In verse 13, it says, "Distributing to the saints and giving hospitality." In Matthew 25, it talks about the sheep and the goats and how Jesus condemns the goats for not giving to those who are in need, and how he blesses the sheep for being able to be free with their hospitality to feed those who were hungry and to bless and to visit those who were in prison, for in so doing they were giving back what Jesus had done back to those in his time. They were doing likewise unto him. In verse 16, it says, Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I believe the key to verses 15 and 16 would be of the same mind one to another. This shows that we should not love the same things, ideas, and rejoice with those who are rejoicing in another brother's successes or in a new believer's acceptance of salvation. Be able to receive another brother's burdens and carry them as far as you can. I was climbing Mount Washington last week, and Joe was going pretty fast. And Joe, I was getting tired, and I was starting to black out, and Joe took my pack and carried it for me. And I think that's just a nice example of this verse and how we should be able to do that for our brothers and sisters with spiritual things as well as physical things. And then at the end of the chapter, it says in verses 17 through the end, it says, "Recompense no man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." This verse to me is just saying, don't hold a grudge against a brother or sister. Try and forgive them as soon as possible. God is the one who will give the consequences. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." This sort of is speaking for itself, but fact that God is the one that will bring the vengeance should be a great relief to us, because we don't have to spend hours thinking of how we're going to avenge our brother or how we're going to get back at someone. Rather, we can forgive them and move on and let the Lord take care of our problem. My last point is 2 Samuel 23 and verse 13. And this is the story of three of David's mighty men who, when David longed for a drink of water by the gate of Bethlehem, they arose and fought through the Philistines at the garrison in Bethlehem, brought the water to David. I believe these men were giving us an example of the ultimate living sacrifice, how they were willing to die for the person they were, they believed was the rightful king, they believed was God was going to bless. David refuses to drink the water because of the fact that the men would risk their lives and their blood just so that he can quench his thirst. So he pours the water on the ground. And then the Lord calls them the mightiest of his mighty men. So let us just be able to carry one another's burdens and be able to give back more than what the Lord has given to us through his Son. I have one more thing. When you're giving back to the Lord, it's important that you also do it with sincerity, because if you don't, it will be matter little, because in Psalm 51, David is talking about how sacrifices that are given flippantly or without a desire for a righting of a wrong or whatever the sacrifices are for are mocking God's all-knowing abilities and mocking just doing it just to show that they were able to do. I'm just going to do this because it's what the Lord told me to do, rather than sincerely feeling wrong about it and giving back or sacrificing something of yourself to right the wrong that was done.
That was just tremendous, Caleb. Thank you for your thoughts. Spoke to my heart. Keep it up. I remember the first time I was asked to speak. I think I was a little older than you were, maybe 19 or so. And there was a fella in our chapel, the elder in our chapel, who felt that you shouldn't speak until you were 30 years of age. And there's some writings in the Old Testament about the Levites becoming Levites at 20 and being able to participate in service at 30. And so he was brought up in a school of thought that, you know, you should be 30 before you start to speak. And so here I was speaking at the chapel, and there were others who were younger, not younger than me. But, and I remember the text I chose, was always intrigued by that text. Two men walking up the hill, one was taken and the other left. Two women at the well, one was taken and the other left. And it is actually, it's in that portion you also quoted, Caleb, in Matthew 24 and 25. And I spoke about the rapture and our need to be ready for the rapture. And, of course, those verses have nothing to do with the rapture. I was completely taking them out of context and applying them in the wrong way. And after I came down from the platform, no one said anything to me. It was only years later when I began to realize what those verses were really talking about, and it dawned on me that maybe that first sermon I spoke wasn't very, very accurate to the scriptures of the Word of God. But George Mortland was very kind. He was the elder at the chapel there. He spoke in here at this assembly many, many years ago. In fact, I have a tape of that message when Peter Ford was commended from this assembly. George Mortland came up to speak here. And this was probably 1974, 75, right around then. And he was very kind and encouraged me to continue to preach and to teach. And so I don't think I could find anything wrong with any of the things you said, my boy. So I would like to just notice one thing about the passage. And it's the first two words, and the two words are, I beseech. I think that's absolutely striking about this passage, that God is asking us to be like this. He is not commanding us to this behavior, but he is asking, and not just asking us, pleadingly asking for us to behave like this. Beseeching us. What a God we have, for he doesn't need to beseech us for anything. We beseech him. And that, yet these are the words that are used of the highest mind in the universe. I beseech you. You notice how many times the word high-minded came up in the passage. Don't think of yourself too highly than you ought. You know, don't be high-minded. He says it a couple times in the passage. And the Lord in this first portion here, in the first two words, takes his highest mind, who can think of himself in any way he wants, and he puts himself on this level where he beseeches us, he asks us, he pleads with us. I want you to be like this. The reason why I've saved you is so that you will be like this. I want you to be kind. I want you to have affection for one another. Please, please, don't hold the grudges, as my son so carefully brought out. Bear one another's burdens. Look for ways to distribute to those who are in need. In your generosity, be simple and give. Please. Don't think your gift is better than the others. You've all got gifts. I've given them all to you. Use them, please. I want you to use those gifts. I beseech you. I beseech you. As best as possible, the Lord says, live peaceably. Make every effort. I beseech you, please, to do that. See our Lord take that place, even in glory, even at God's right hand. See our Lord take this place, even in the passage itself. Could I say that humble place? Perhaps that's not the word I want to use, but there isn't any high-mindedness in our Lord's ministry to us this morning. And so perhaps just with that thought, we can just close with a word of prayer. All right? Lord, I thank you for the portion that you brought to us today. I thank you, Lord, for young men here who wish to think about Romans 12. It isn't the passage that most men and women want to dwell on. I thank you, Lord, for reminding us of the need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to the Lord as our reasonable service. That we ought to be like that cup of cold water poured out for the Lord, like those soldiers devoted to David. And you've asked us to be like this. Help us to be like this, Lord. Help us to not be high-minded. Help us to take the low place, to not think more of our gift than someone else's gift, to be kind and affectionate, to live peaceably with each other, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We pray that you would help us to build these things into our lives, that you would remind us again that the Christian life is not just sitting and listening, but it is doing what you've asked us to do. I pray for your blessing on this young man. My son, I thank you for him and ask, Lord, that you would work in his life and use him for your honor and for your glory. I thank you for his example at his school, amongst his friends. I pray that you would give him the strong encouragement that is needed to each and every saint of yours. Lord, I thank you for young Matt who wanted to speak today but could not. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage him, help him to know that you've gifted him and that he has something to say about you and that we would love to hear it. We pray that you would strengthen him, Lord, and give us opportunity to hear what he has to say in the near future. And so we commit this day to you now, Lord. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.